And 2 Kings 8:28, you have the record of Ahaziah, king of Judah. He went with Jordan, son of Ahab, to war against Hazael, king of Syria, at Ramoth-Gilead, and the Syrians wounded Jordan. Verse 29, King Jordan returned to be healed in Jezreel of the wounds which the Syrians had given him at Ramah, when he fought against Hazael, king of Syria. Ahaziah, the son of Jehoram, king of Judah, went down to see Jordan because he was sick, and that results in him losing his life. This whole situation of a king of Judah joining with a relative of the family of Ahab and going to fight Gentiles at Ramoth-Gilead and getting wounded, this is an exact repeat of what happened to Jehoshaphat. He also went to war with Syria at Ramoth-Gilead along with the family of Ahab, and he was very nearly killed there. He was only saved by grace. He sort of had to start screaming out, "I'm not Ahab, I'm not the king of Israel." And they left him alone. And when he returns home, he experiences God's wrath for going there. God says, "My wrath is upon you because you went with Ahab to fight against Syria at Ramoth-Gilead." And yet, Ahaziah goes and does exactly the same thing. He goes with the son of Ahab to fight the Syrians at Ramoth-Gilead. And eventually, because he will not learn the lesson and still remains sympathetic towards the family of Ahab, who were, of course, his in-laws, he loses his life because of it. Well, the point is with Ahaziah, he was supposed to have learnt the lesson from Jehoshaphat. The similarities between the situations are exact. Now, as you read it off your screen or as black print on white paper, you see this very clearly. Oh, you think, yeah, Leanna, this is exactly what happened. The same town, Ramoth-Gilead, the Syrians with Ahab. Oh, this is Jehoshaphat all over again. Yes, it is Jehoshaphat all over again. And you think, Ahaziah, don't you see that? So it's a bit easier, I suppose, in one sense, for us to see the similarities reading from this distance than it was for Ahaziah. But the point is, he should have learnt. And this, then, is the power of biblical history. So you read the Bible, so much of it is history. You could argue it's all history. And history may indeed be bunk, but biblical history is not. This is a living word through which God is speaking to us. And we are supposed to discern the similarities. You think of Jesus when he was 40 days tested in the desert and he was hungry. He resists the three temptations he gets by quoting from either Deuteronomy 6 or Deuteronomy 8. Clearly enough, he saw the similarities between his situation and that of Israel, who were 40 years in the wilderness, also tested, also hungry. This is how life is intended to go. You read the Bible, you see all these historical situations, you read, if you like, a mass of biography, in one sense, and you perceive the similarities with yourself. And you are to learn the lessons. So many times people don't bother reading the Bible, so they're not familiar with the text, and therefore the lessons aren't learnt, or they are simply not perceptive. There is this sense that as we sort of cut our way through the jungle of life, that I am alone, that this is totally unprecedented what I'm going through, nobody has trodden this path before. But that is an illusion. The whole intention of the scriptures is that we might see that God is at work in human life, and that he works according to certain patterns and principles, like a hallmark that's placed upon every human life that is of God. And so, through patience and comfort of the scriptures, Paul says, we might have hope. We see, therefore, that I am not alone, and when one is suffering, the worst thing in suffering is to feel that nobody knows how I feel. Nobody has gone through this. I won't even waste breath explaining to you because you will not understand. Well, maybe that may be true in the set of people that you have in your life, possibly so. But you are not alone. For one thing, God is with you. And secondly, not only is God with you, but you definitely, without any question, are living out life to some degree in reflection of the life experience of others who are recorded in the Bible. And God has chosen those people very carefully, and he's chosen the bits and pieces of their lives, which he's recorded very carefully. And we only get bits and pieces, don't we, of these people's lives. They lived whatever, however many years they lived, and we tend to only read of a very few situations that arose in their lives. So this is where God's word becomes truly your companion. This is where you get to the point where you just love reading the history, you love reading the whole situation of God with Israel, the way they failed, the way occasionally they succeeded, because this is me. And the art, I think, of Bible reading and of spiritual life is to see that, is to perceive that. And thereby we get guidance and we get huge comfort and hope from the scriptures.